Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
I'm good.
That is very good. I'm excited about what you've brought us this morning.
Are you? That says a lot about you.
It's going to be a wild ride, I think. Psych rock.
It sure is. I hope everybody has their paisley on.
Their good collars and their sort of bell-bottom jeans, maybe? That's not really psych, is it? Or is it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe if his jeans are velvet and orange or purple.
Fantastic. So what are we talking about with regards to psych rock today?
So psychedelic rock or psychedelia, it's actually was a kind of a small blip in the radar as far as chart hits go. We're basically talking 1965 to 1968. And it was sort of directly connected to either before, you know, which came first, chicken or the egg, of the hippie movement.
Right.
So this is your hippie music. So, and it's very big drug subculture here, but it also was fashion, amazing album covers and poster art. I mean, just the best.
Yeah.
And so it can be like an adjective applied to any music that has elements of it, but it also was its own particular sort of style.
I'm going to hit this first track we've got from The Birds. So this is 8 miles high.
Yeah, and supposedly it's about flying in an airplane. It's not really about being high, right?
Sure. There seems to be a lot of psych music that has that double entendre in the title there. So how did it come about? You're saying it sort of comes out of the hippies.
It needed to because these would get banned from the radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, people sort of, you know, the 1950s was sort of kind of conservative, you know, the sort of happy families. And so this part of the 60s is when, you know, people started protesting the government. LSD was invented. The Vietnam War was happening, and actually, you know, some of the beginnings of this movement was the Beatles. You know, they started experimenting in the studio as well as in their heads. So sort of both went hand in hand. But this was one of the big earlier hits of the movement, and I don't know if you can hear the electric guitar. It's sort of sounding like a sitar in what it's doing.
So were they kind of drawing on international sounds as well then, if you've got this kind of sitar noise?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, like the drugs, it actually was trying to achieve a higher consciousness, you know? And so the same with the interest in India was, trying to get in touch with your spirit. And as we know, the Beatles famously went to India for a while and had a yogi that they studied with. So it was all part of the sort of spiritual, psychological awakening.
I've been told off by a texter for talking over the greatest rock intro ever. Sorry.
Well, you know, it's interesting that they mention the intro because a lot of these songs are used in films now, and honestly, you just need to hear a couple of bars, and all of a sudden, you know someone's getting high. Like, it's the association in your mind.
It's so true.
And I wonder if you can get high from listening to it.
8 miles high, maybe.
I feel like a lot of the listeners are going to be quite big fans of this genre.
Well, it's quite a foundational genre, isn't it? Because as you say, Kirsten, now you can kind of apply the psychedelic label to lots of different things, or things that have so clearly borrowed from this specific moment in time. I'm really interested, was this like a cross-Atlantic situation? Obviously, the Beatles were based in the UK, but huge in America as well. Which kind of side of the Atlantic did it stem from?
It was iconically American in that it was San Francisco and the West Coast and LA that had the subculture to go along with it, the festivals, the big groups of hippies. But you have important bands in England like the Beatles and like even Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And so you can hear, you know, the influence of this in a lot of indie rock still exists, you know. So mm-hmm. even though it was short-lived, it's, you know, it's sound and rock. Oh, now this one's really famous, too. Some of you are high already now. Now the intro, she doesn't start singing until like 30 seconds in, so you can just sort of groove and get high to this one. So this is Jefferson Airplane, White Rabbit, 1967. And she talks about pills, literally, but what she says she's talking about is how as kids you grow up with all these... There she is.
One pill makes you
small. She's talking about how we all grow up on these children's tales, like Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan, where people take pills or do cocaine to fly and do things. So she's calling out the hypocrisy of the adults who were telling kids not to do drugs while they drank and then read them stories like Wizard of Oz and Opium Poppies. Chasing rabbits, and you know you're going to fall. Tell them all. Yeah, so that's the hookah smoking caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland. So it's allowed in Alice in Wonderland, but like this band, you know, people would try to ban the song. And she talks about how Alice was a cool hero for her because she wasn't a princess. She was just this girl that was curious and followed her curiosity.
Grace Slick has got one of the most spectacular voices, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah. And she just embodies this search for meaning. See, it's not really just about drugs, bro. It's about the search for meaning and elevating yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Beat your head, she says. When logic
and proportion have fallen asleep. It's interesting as well that you say kind of when you hear a few bars of something like this in a movie or in a TV show or something, it's also really come to be the sound of the 60s in many ways too. Like if a movie's trying to shorthand tell you that you're in the 60s and everything's groovy, they'll just chuck on a classic sort of psychedelic track in the background, won't they?
That's right. And even though we were talking about this smaller part of the 60s, obviously the 60s, like any other human endeavor, is multifaceted and complex. And you know, she talks about, you know, she didn't want to grow up and be this like good housewife, and that's why people became hippies. They wanted this alternative lifestyle and something more and something different, especially for women.
Yeah. Now here we go.
This is one of the best band names ever.
I think I have to agree with you on that one. The Electric Prunes.
I mean, really? 1967. I had too much to dream last night. Is the title.
I had too much to dream last night.
So you can hear this sort of fuzz tone guitars and the sound effect.
And if anyone's listening in headphones, like I am, it is phasing all over the place.
So you're getting high. So this was the beginning of that.
This is a very good album, I have to say. And it's also a bit silly as well, which I kind of like about Psych. Some of it takes itself extremely seriously, but some of it is just it's a little bit frilly, it's a little bit silly. It's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, and it was really big. I mean, you know, you think of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Well, someone's pointed out here, Stones
the
with...
were doing stuff.
The Stones did Mother's Little Helper as well.
Yes. So, you know, this is an important thing where music sort of reflecting the time, where mainstream society would like these things to have not happened, but yet is still willing to sell music that talks about it because it makes money,
money.
And the movement's just so strong.
What's the relationship between psych and prog? Because they both kind of a little bit, overly complicated sometimes. What is there much of a handshake going on there, Kirsten?
Well, yeah, it moved into prog.
Okay.
You know, so prog was... you know, more complex and more intellectual, less drug, you know, overt. Mm-hmm. So this shifted into prog. This was like the precursor. Pre-prog, proto-prog.
Prog, postgraduate.
Yeah, so prog's just a couple years later.
Yep.
But this started the idea of experimenting. But they're not as interested in, like, classical music.
Got you. still got very much like a rock bass going on there.
And you can hear, we've got the keyboards, the Mellotron, right?
Yeah. Somebody said a lot of psych tracks had trippier mono mixes. That's an interesting point.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, because so different listeners would experience it different.
Yeah.
Oh, and apparently psychedelia sort of invented the idea of having these big tribal gatherings as concerts. I mean, where would we be without our tribal gatherings?
Without our big festivals. That is a very good point. This is the Electric Prunes with I Had Too Much to Dream last night. We also listened to Jefferson Airplane with White Rabbit, amazing vocals from Grace Slick, and The Birds with 8 Miles High. I'm sorry to the texter that we talked over the top of it. 'Tis the nature of the segment, though. And we've had a bit of love coming in for The Doors as well. Are The Doors psych rock, this person's asking? Would you say they are?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. You know, anything you can wear a flower crown to, and a flowing floral muumuu.
Yeah.
So maybe put those clothing on and then see what grooves with you.
I also want to absolutely shout out to the texter who said Neil's Heaven concept album featuring Neil from The Young Ones is a great parody of psych rock. You're so right. I forgot about that. That's a really good one.
Oh, no, I haven't heard that one. I'm going to have to look
it up. It's really good. You should give it a listen. Hey, thank you so much, Kirsten, for bringing us psychedelia this morning. What are you going to be bringing next week?
Well, now, I didn't mean to stick on the same theme because I like to alternate between like rock and dance and black music. But we're doing Acid House next week, which
nice.
Is also trippy.
Trippy as. All right. We'll just keep rolling on this train then. Thank you very much, Kirsten. Have a lovely weekend.
Okay. Bye.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
It certainly